Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
According to a new survey, 38% of Americans say that they wouldn't buy Corona beer, quote, under any circumstances. Due to the coronavirus outbreak, I feel for you, said the CEO of Ebola Hard Seltzer.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to actress Elizabeth Moss. She also takes a few more questions backstage exclusively for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
As concerns grow about the government's handling of the coronavirus outbreak, the president is calling criticism of his response a hoax. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. This was yet another weekend in our manic, head-spinning political era where major news stories were breaking one after another. The Trump era has turned all of us into cats trying to follow multiple laser pointers at once. Stock market, Democratic primary, eclipse! For one thing, Joe Biden won a landslide victory in the South Carolina primary on Saturday, and as a result, two of his rivals, Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar, dropped out and announced today they would endorse Biden. Meanwhile, the third candidate who dropped out, Tom Steyer, did it immediately on election night, one day after dancing on stage during a rally in South Carolina to Juveniles, Back That Ass Up. I can guarantee that when Juvenile wrote that song, that is not the ass he had in mind. And I'm sorry, but nobody wearing that tie should ever dance like that. You look like a chaperone at a prep school, prom, trying to get the nerds onto the dance floor. In fact, the last few days have been so jam-packed, we don't even have time to talk about the super weird fact that on Saturday at the Conservative Political Action Conference, Trump not only hugged but also kissed the American flag while mouthing the words, "I love you, baby." I mean, because believe me, we could spend a whole 10 minutes on that. I mean, seriously, what is going on here? If Trump's not careful, he's going to have to pay hush money to Betsy Ross. This is more intimate than that Lady Gaga-Bradley Cooper performance at last year's Oscars. In fact, just to give you an idea of how much was happening this weekend, the president announced that he had negotiated a peace deal with the Taliban and that wasn't even one of the top news stories. On Saturday, Trump held a press conference that updated the nation on the coronavirus outbreak, but he started by trying to draw attention to the Taliban deal. And look, personally, I am in favor of any attempt to end our longest war and bring our troops home. It's something we should have done a long time ago, but it would be nice to have a president we could trust to coherently explain the details to us. And yet, even when he tried to start the press conference by talking about this Taliban deal, all Trump could do was ramble drowsily like he just woke up from an afternoon nap.
Before we begin, I'd like to congratulate all of those incredible people that have worked for so long on our endless war and will be very much hoping that they will be doing what they say they're going to be doing. They will be killing terrorists. They will be killing some very bad people. And again, it's been a long journey in Afghanistan in particular. But this was a very spirited agreement There was a lot of talk. I really believe the Taliban wants to do something to show that we're not all wasting time.
You're wasting time! Just tell us what's in the deal. I honestly expected an award show orchestra to start playing him off.
And we'll be...
So the original point of Saturday's press conference was supposed to be to update Americans on the coronavirus and quell fears about the government's bumbling response because the administration has not been doing a lot to reassure Americans. He put his Vice President Mike Pence in charge of controlling all coronavirus messaging from health officials, and Trump himself dismissed the danger at the White House on Thursday.
We have done an incredible job. We're going to continue. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear. And from our shores, we've, you know, it could get worse before it gets better. It could maybe go away. We'll see what happens. Nobody really knows. The fact is, the greatest experts I've spoken to all, nobody really knows.
All right, first of all, I doubt you've spoken to all the greatest experts. I can't even begin to imagine a conversation between a scientist and Donald Trump. It would be like watching Bill Gates explain the internet to a dog. Second, it's not reassuring in the midst of a crisis to hear the most powerful man in the world say nobody knows what will happen. It's like hearing your captain say, we're going through some turbulence, we might make it to our destination, but nobody really knows. If we do, it'll be a miracle. Just because you don't know doesn't mean nobody knows. Yes, there are some unknowns, but there are also experts studying the situation right now and learning things. You should maybe check in with them. Instead, the administration has been busy with other less urgent tasks. Pence, the guy who's supposed to be in charge of all this, spent Friday at a high-dollar fundraiser for Republicans in Florida. And as for the president, and this is real, the Daily Beast reported that on Friday at the White House, Trump spent 45 minutes talking to the lead actors of a low-budget conservative play about the so-called deep state. All right, I have so many questions. First of all, why is Trump meeting with actors in a play? I doubt he's ever sat through a play in his life. He probably went to Hairspray by accident thinking it was a tutorial.
I need to learn how to freeze my hair in place so that it's fully wind-resistant.
Although I will say, judging from this photo, you'd think he was starring in the Broadway adaptation of Beetlejuice. So that's what the president was spending his time doing while he should have been monitoring developments with the coronavirus and coming up with a reassuring government response. And now he and his allies are attacking Democrats for supposedly politicizing the crisis. At this very moment, healthcare professionals are warning about the lack of widespread accurate testing, with one infectious disease expert calling it a national scandal. And yet Trump and his allies have been attacking Democrats in the media simply for pointing out these very real problems, with Trump himself even calling criticism of his response to the outbreak a hoax.
They are now sadly politicizing and actually weaponizing an infectious disease in what is basically just the latest effort to bludgeon President Trump.
It looks like the coronavirus being weaponized as yet another element to bring down Donald Trump.
The reason you're paying so much attention to it today is that they think this is going to be what brings down the president.
Now the Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus. You know that, right? Coronavirus. They tried the impeachment hoax, and this is their new hoax.
A hoax? I think part of the problem here is that Trump only knows like five words, and hoax is one of them. His brain is like a Mad Lib with the same word written in for every sentence. So on Saturday, Trump tried to defend his handling of the crisis, and in doing so, he once again lied about the speed of his government's response.
Since the early stages of the foreign outbreak, my administration has taken the most aggressive action in modern history to confront the spread of this disease. We moved very early. Experts now agree that the decision to move so quickly, despite a lot of opposition on that decision, was a wise one. It greatly slowed the spread of the virus to the United States.
No, you didn't move quickly. For one thing, you never move quickly. You lumber around the White House lawn in circles like an only child on an Easter egg hunt by himself. Second, there's new evidence suggesting the virus may have been spreading for weeks, the problem worsened in part by the fact that we haven't had widespread national testing, which would make sense because when reports of the outbreak first began to make news around the world, this is how the president responded.
The virus. They're working hard. Looks like by April, you know, in theory, when it gets a little warmer, it miraculously goes away. I hope that's true.
The coronavirus, that's a new thing that a lot of people are talking about. Hopefully it won't be as bad as some people think it could be. And we think it's going to have a very good ending for us. Hopefully it's all going to be great.
Maybe there's something new, because for 2 days, I haven't been seeing too much of that news.
Now, the virus that we're talking about having to do, you know, a lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat, as the heat comes in. Typically, that will go away in April. We're in great shape, though.
Where did you get this idea that it just goes away in April? Are you confusing it with Lent?
You know, it starts in February, and it usually goes away in April, but you have to give something up to avoid catching it. I'm giving up flag humping.
And yet, of course, somehow the president is not even the dumbest Donald Trump to weigh in on this story, because in case you forgot, there's a second Donald Trump, and he had this truly disgusting thing to say on Friday.
Anything that they can use to try to hurt Trump, they will. For them to try to take a pandemic and seemingly hope that it comes here and kills millions of people so that they could end Donald Trump's streak of winning is a new level of sickness.
Jesus, someone is desperately trying to get their father to love them. I'm doing this so my father will hug and kiss me like that goddamn flag. I'm sorry I don't have stars and stripes, Dad! Sorry! This is the kind of crisis management situation where you want competent, apolitical people in charge. Instead, we have an administration that would rather spend its time raising money, meeting with the actors in a right-wing play, and cuddling with American flags. All we can do for now is stay calm and listen to the advice of healthcare professionals, and as for the Trump administration, just hope that
it's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
This has been A Closer Look.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Our guest tonight is an Emmy and Golden Globe award-winning actress you know from such shows as Mad Men, The West Wing, and The Handmaid's Tale. She stars in The Invisible Man, which is in theaters and IMAX on February 28th. Please welcome back to the show, Elizabeth Moss, everybody! That is, as movie clips go, that was very intense.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie is just kind of slow.
Yeah, it's very chill. It's a very chill movie about Invisible Man.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It's interesting, because a lot of times in horror movies, people are dealing with CGI. Like, this is, the man's invisible. So you were doing a lot of acting that we as an audience are doing, because you can't see anybody because no one's there.
Right. Very true. That was with an incredible stunt person, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and a harness and a whole thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How many times did you have to do the old harness scene?
I think that we did, like, 5 or 6 times that fight sequence.
Okay, so that's not crazy. Yeah.
That's well. Oh, really?
I was never in movies. I don't know. 6 seems normal.
Yeah. I am not a very physical person, so...
Gotcha.
Yes.
Was there a lot of discussion about doing your own stunts in a film like this?
Yes. So Lee, our wonderful writer-director, called me while I was in Toronto, and he said, I want you to do as much as possible. If you're game, like, I'm feeling it out. And I was like, yeah, totally, man. Like, let's totally do that. I want to do as many stunts as I can. And then I kind of forgot about it for, like, a month. And then I got to Australia where we shot it, and we started going to stunt rehearsals, and I was like, oh, no. No. Like, I don't like going to the gym. I don't like working out.
Yeah, right.
Like, napping is my physical activity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's a good one.
It is a sport.
I think it's healthy. I think napping
is very healthy.
Yeah.
It is very. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So I had to do all these stunts and these stunt rehearsals, and I had to do lots of running. There's so much running.
Yeah.
He's constantly
running. That's the
running.
Thing. People, they don't. They think the Invisible Man won't be fast, but he's a regular man. He's just invisible.
Exactly. He's right on your heel.
He's right on your heel. And you have no idea how much gap you have between
no,
you and him.
No, you don't know where he is.
You can't be like, I can slow down now. I got some space between us.
You don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
I feel like you've done. I feel like Handmaids has some running as well. I feel
it
like
does.
There's been some like running in the woods.
There was a lot of
there was.
In the
I feel like the last season particularly.
You're right.
It was like, let's really run in
we
the
have
woods.
To stop this.
Yeah.
This is not my thing.
It feels like the Handmaid's universe needs Uber for you. Yeah. Just for you. I don't know if it'll perfectly fit into the storyline.
Just but for me. Or just like a slow walk. Remember the days when I used to just slowly walk on the show?
Yeah.
It was lovely.
I mean, that's. I do feel like, now that you mentioned it, I feel like a lot of the first couple seasons were a lot of slow walking.
Yeah.
It was like a lot of the exposition happened on walks.
Yeah, exactly.
It was lovely. If you didn't know what the show was about, you'd be like, this is a nice show.
It's a wonderful show. A lot of two-hander scenes.
Yeah.
Of us just walking and talking.
A lot of, like, happy women who coincidentally wore the same outfit. That's always funny. So this is a... the original Invisible Man movie, I think it was the 30s, right?
Yes, 1933.
And had you seen those films?
I hadn't. I actually never watched any of them, but I'm a huge horror fan.
Was that something you got into as a kid?
Oh, yeah. When I was like 11 or 12, I used to get together with my girlfriends, and we'd have sleepovers, and we'd watch scary movies, which now seems really bad.
Yeah.
Why did we do that? It's a terrible idea, but we just scared the out of ourselves.
I know. We did it too. I also think there was a really fun thing that, and again, this makes us sound old, and I appreciate people will feel that, but like going to select them from a video store was also sort of thrilling.
Absolutely.
And because the covers of them were terrifying.
Yes. Yeah. And curating that was all very exciting, and you'd get your two for the night, you know, and then settle
it's
in.
It's great. Like, that's when I realized I'm older, because the idea, I used to watch two movies a night all the time.
Yes.
If I get 15 minutes into anything before falling asleep. It is incredible. I was so scared by the idea. I have still not seen Nightmare on Elm Street. And I
really?
Like scary movies.
Oh, that's
but,
a good one.
Yeah. But there was just something about that guy's face. I was like, no, thank you.
You didn't like it.
Yeah, I was like, I do not care for your choices.
It's not a good face.
I do not like your grooming, and I'm not going to spend 2 hours with you.
I don't like what you've done here.
What
do
you, for people who are skittish,
yeah.
Like, how does this film, what do you recommend for that?
Well, I had a fun experience with my best friend, Goldie, who I took to the premiere. And at first, she didn't want to go. At first, she was like, I can't. It's too scary. I can't see it. And I just guilt-tripped her.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, that's totally cool. I worked really, really hard on this and poured my heart and soul into it.
Right.
And I went to Australia and shot for 2.5 months, and I hurt my neck, and I busted my ass, but that's
I had
totally
to do
cool.
a harness stunt 5 times, yeah. Which is a lot.
Which is a lot, by the way.
Yeah,
it
which
sound
is a
like
lot.
It.
I know that some people, some dummies think it's normal.
Yeah, some dummies. And I was like, but that's cool. You can't sit through the movie for an hour and a half. That's totally fine. And that's why I got her to go.
Yeah.
So she sat next to me, and which I promised her I would do. And then we had like a system where she would hold my arm, and then I would sort of tap her. So if there was something scary coming, I'd go.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, yeah. Except I totally messed it up.
Yeah.
So I'd be watching, and I'd just be like watching the movie, and then I'd just sort of tap her arm, just like lovingly, you know? And then she'd be like, what are you doing? And I'd be like, oh, sorry. I love you. And then there's one scene in the movie, well, there's a lot of scenes, scary scenes in the movie, but there's one scene where something really bad happens at the end. And I was like, something kind of scary happens at the end of this. And she was like, okay. And then I proceeded to tell her about the other actor in the scene and how great they were and how wonderful and we should have dinner with them and they're so funny and she was going to love them. And then something bad happened in the scene. And she literally pulled her arm away in actual anger and was like, you're a dick. And like refused
to speak to me. So you were basically like, you'll love them. We should have dinner. Oh, right. Dinner's not a possibility.
So I kind of messed that up, but we had a system, but well.
You, I know that you were doing a junket, what people do when you do press, and you and your co-star, and there was an effort made to scare you guys during that. And junkets are not, by nature, scary.
No, not at all. Only by length.
Yeah, exactly.
they tried to scare us. They pulled us into a room, and we bought it hook, line, and sinker. We were such stupid actors.
Yeah.
You know, and they were like, our stunt coordinator, Harry, who's from Australia, has flown out to interview you, which is not a thing.
Right.
No one's going to do that.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, cool, right, of course he did, because we're actors. So, like, of course, everyone wants to talk to us.
Right, that's all you have to do to trick an actor is be like, people find you interesting. It's like, oh.
Of course they do.
Well.
What can I do for you? We sat down and started taking pictures of each other, like, just stupid. And then they started to really, really scare us. And they had this whole magic thing that they did, and they did all the tricks in the movie. And we actually legitimately got really scared. And there's a great video of it, which I posted on my Instagram. And I immediately did the total anti-feminist thing and, like, threw myself into his arms and was like, oh, my God, I'm so scared. I, like, lost a shoe. Like, I was not the superhero that I am in this movie at all. I was a total...
I want to make it clear, I would do that as well. I scare easy and jump fast.
You would.
I will jump into the arms of a stranger if it comes to that. And then we were talking backstage, you're about to leave to start shooting season 4 of Handmaid's.
Yeah, we start on Monday.
And I mean, so exciting. I just want to ask, like, when you embarked on this, I think, you know, anytime you embark on this, which at a time, you know, for Hulu, there weren't a lot of shows that they had that resonated like this with people. Are you just shocked that you're still doing it? You must be so happy.
I am. I am really happy. It's I'm very grateful for it, and I love doing the show, so.
I know you can't say much. Things weren't going great for June at the end of season 3.
All that running.
Yeah, so much running. I remember is you were very winded at the end.
Yes. I can tell you this, the whole first episode is just me out of breath. Yeah. Just me trying to catch
no dialogue.
Breath.
It's just a lot of like, holding up one finger.
The resistance, yeah, I'll just be right there. I got this.
Can you say anything about it?
I think we're going to lean into the comedy of the show.
Yeah, I think it's about time,
I think we're really going to...
Yeah, because I will say, and I don't want to be critical of it, very few laughs
very
in the first three seasons. Yeah.
And we've taken that note. We understand that.
Yeah.
And we're going to lean into the comedy of it. You know, pump up the romance a little bit. You know, like This Is Us?
Yeah, a little more This Is Us.
A little more This Is Us.
It's interesting, though, because when Bradley Whitford was here, I remember talking to him about the fact that actually, on set, it's not the most depressing place in the world. Like, you have a lovely crew, and I imagine, like, when you're dealing with subject matter like that, you can't, like, bring it to set and bring it home every night over the course of the however many months you're doing
You can't. You can't. Also, because there's, like, 100 crew members that don't really care, you know? That don't care about your drama and your resistance and just want to go home to their families.
But that must make it easier. It must make it easier to, like, leave it on the set, which makes you have a healthier life.
Yes, absolutely. It definitely does. We have a lot of, believe it or not, we have a lot of fun making the show.
I know it's a weird thing to say, but I can't, like, it would be the opposite. It would be so much worse, obviously.
I know, it would be terrible.
Yeah. Okay, because I feel like that's what we're missing is, like, we would love to see the blooper reel from Handmaid's.
I feel
like. Just with a lot of terrible sound effects, like quack, quack.
Just me panting the whole time.
Congratulations on the film. I can't wait to see the next season of Handmaid's Tale. It's always such a delight to have you here. Give it up to Elizabeth Moss, everybody. The Invisible Man is in theaters and IMAX this Friday.
Hi, everyone. It's Sarah from Late Night. I'm here with Elizabeth Moss. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
So I just want to tell some of the viewers that when we spoke before you went on the show, I admitted to you that I couldn't see the movie.
Yes, and what happened?
You,
I berated you.
You trolled me a little bit.
I did.
Yeah.
I trolled you.
Similar to your friend Goldie.
That's the thing, is that's why you should take it with love, because I did it to my best friend.
So what I wanted to ask you is, because I feel like I have very traumatic moments, experiences from being a kid and watching scary movies and knowing that they were too much for me. One was Sleeping with the Enemy. Did you see that?
I believe I have at some point.
I was told that it was also kind of similar to Invisible Man in
yes,
a sense.
Yes, very, very
so
similar.
I was like, oh yeah, now I definitely can't
if
see it.
If that is literally the movie that scared you and put you off scary movies, then you should not see this film.
And Jennifer 8, did you see that one?
No. Which one was that?
I think she's blind and there's someone stalking her, so it's sort of Invisible Man-esque because she can't see him.
I feel like I should have watched that.
It's terrifying.
Okay.
Did you have any that pushed you over the edge when you were a kid?
I had a hard time with It, the original It, because of the clown, obviously, and just the when he's in the, like, grate, or not the grate, but the...
You're acting like I saw this.
You're so right. You're so absolutely correct. That's ridiculous. You haven't seen it. There's a moment near the beginning, and it's in the new It as well, and it's just really scary, and I had a hard time getting over that.
Is it the, like, extraterrestrial moment that's scarier to you? More than like the reality?
No, thing? The reality okay. thing is scarier, for sure. Like that's why like The Exorcist doesn't necessarily scare me.
Yes.
But it's the real stuff. It's the guy who's like psychotic and a serial killer and actually going to chase you down. Like that actually scares me.
What about the new trailer for Candyman? Have you watched that yet?
No.
I haven't either, but two guys in my office watched it today.
Is it really scary?
Yes. Do you think you're going to go on a full like horror scary movie binge now of things you haven't seen?
I guess so. I want to make more.
Really?
Yeah. It was really fun. It was really fun. But now I want to be the villain. I want to be the scary person. I think that would be fun.
What type of scary person do you think you would play?
Like a real scary person. Like a person who's a real person.
Like a no morals type of person?
Yeah. Or just like a serial killer type of person who's like willing to do anything. I also love... We're very different. I love like true crime.
But no, see, I like true crime. I like hearing about the...
Okay,
I
that's
like
a
hearing
real...
about the podcast, but I can't dip into the like the real life things. I can see from a distance, or I can hear about them.
Yeah,
but I don't want to see the movie version of it. I don't want to actually see it.
You don't want to see it played out.
Yeah,
you want to hear about it after the fact. It's all done. He's in jail.
Or I can
fine.
Hear about it as a podcast. Or totally. I don't really want to read a book about it either, because then
too
I can
visual.
Mm-hmm.
Too visual.
Yeah, I just don't want to see it happen.
That makes sense. I get that. So you're like kind of removed from it.
Yes,
I like it.
But I do like the true crime, like I'll listen to all those things, and
yeah,
like
me too.
If there's a Dateline on and it's not too scary, I'm definitely dipping into
it. Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
but I understand, because it's all wrapped up at that point. He's
right.
either caught or
yes.
he's dead.
Yes.
You know the outcome, mm-hmm. so it's like you know, like especially like the Dateline, like you know this is going to be okay.
Yeah, or sometimes it's not, but like at least I know there's an end.
Yeah, you just avoid those ones.
I'm really excited to see what you might do as a villain, though.
I think it'd be really cool.
I think you'd be really good.
I did this part in Jordan Peele's movie Us, and I felt like I got to play a little bit of a villain in that, and it was really fun. Us is funny though too.
Well, so is Get Out, which I
yeah.
just had someone tell me all about and then watched it like 10 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Right.
And I knew it was coming.
Right. You knew what was happening. There's mm-hmm. a couple images from Get Out that have really stayed with me, like the guy running towards
terrifying.
It's like that's terrifying. Yeah. That's honestly one of the scariest images I've ever seen in a film.
Very
it's
scary.
Really good. Really, really good. But it's also, it is funny and it's thoughtful, and so is Us.
So that's what your next one will be too.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think
good.
I want to do more of like a villain thing.
Well, that's a hot tip for all of our listeners.
Hot tip. Or I'll just keep watching Dateline.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night Podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
I love a good parasocial relationship with a celebrity who will probably never know my name.
I mean, honestly, who knows? Don't count yourself out. But my favorite part about these feuds is how they're ignited by the tiniest things.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it.
I accidentally laminated my brows too much.
It starts small and then it gets so big.
To be honest, Naomi, I'm fearful of you to this day.
I don't know her.
We all just have to admit, we're addicted. Everybody has opinions. Everyone picks sides.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now.
From Wondery, I'm Sydney Battle.
And I'm Matt Bellassai.
And this is Dis and Tell, la, la, la. Where we unpack why we get so invested in these feuds and whether or not our attention only makes the whole thing worse.
Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts.